My name is Sharon.
And you lost your daughter to an accidental overdose. How old was she?
My daughter, Logan, was 21 years old. She passed away January 25th of 2018. It was fentanyl poisoning. We had struggled for 5-6 years, and she had been rehab 7 different times. Unfortunately, just every time, the 30-day treatments, they help, but it needs to be something that is more than 30 days,
yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, so many different times she would fall back in. But Logan had done super good. She had been 4 or 5 months with no drugs whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it was the drugs are just so hard on your body. People don't understand how much it just wears your body out, like your heart and your other organs can only take so much.
Sure.
And Logan had 4 or 5 months of doing super good and being clean, and she had a friend stop over, and that was all it took. I don't believe, and this is my own gut feeling, but I don't believe that Logan would have done something knowing that there was fentanyl in it. I think that it was something that was laced with fentanyl that she was not aware of.
Tell me about Logan.
Logan was a super, super, just a wonderful person. She was very bright, very bubbly. She had probably the best sense of humor of anybody that I have ever met in my life. She was very much a mommy's girl because it was just her and I for Logan's first 12 years of life. She did really well in school. She had lots of good friends. She was very active here on the farm. She was very active in helping to do things like take care of my mother, who's very elderly, and mm-hmm. She was just a very hands-on people person. And then, unfortunately, you could see things starting to change.
How old was she when you started to notice things changing?
I would say she was 17.
Mm-hmm.
It was between her junior and senior year of high school. Unfortunately, she hooked up with a boyfriend that I myself did not care for, and did in my mind I knew that he was not good for Logan, but it just seemed like the more that I tried to keep Logan away from him, the more that she
right.
ran to him.
For some reason, you can talk to somebody till they're blue in the face, but it doesn't matter until they make their own decision up, even though you know your path is the right one.
Right.
Complex human brain, isn't it? My goodness.
Yeah, it really truly is. And like I said, the more that my husband and I worked to try and keep her away from this boy, it was just like it just did the complete opposite to her. And that's whenever we really started to see things go downhill, like not really caring about school anymore, not really caring about her friends that she had for years and years, just kind of like pushing them off to the side. She was super involved with the family and the activities that we would do, and every time there was something going on, it was either she just didn't show up at all, she was super late, just really withdrew. Whenever you see different signs like this, of course, the last thing that you want to think is something drastic like this. So I thought maybe, you know, she's smoking a little bit of weed, doing something like that. Never in my life did I think that she was doing hard drugs. And by the time that she finally confessed to me and I was aware of the situation and what was going on, she was full blown.
Mm-hmm. What was she doing?
Heroin. And I sit and I think about it now because there were so many different signs that, you know, the guilt that a mother lives with after something like this happens is incredible, because there were so many signs that I saw that I didn't want to see. Like, I'm sorry, nobody needs $100 a week for gas. You know, I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, it's things like that. But one of the things that I'm really trying to get out to people is that whenever someone does become addicted to substances like this, it totally, totally changes the chemistry in their brain. I saw Logan change into a completely different person right before my eyes. She used to tell me, "Mom, you can't love me out of this." And that's a very hard pill to swallow. Once it gets a hold of you, it is such a hard thing to shake. It really is.
What do you say to parents most right now after going through this? If they would see something or what advice would you pass on?
The advice that I would pass on right now is no matter what, keep loving your kids. It's very easy for someone who is on the outside looking in to say, well, if that was me, you know, I'd kick her out of the house and I would do this and I would do that. And that does not help anything. All that does is put them into a deeper, darker place than what they're already at. They always, they need their family, and they need to know that they are loved. And even though you can't love them through this, knowing that, that's the only thing that keeps me here today, is knowing that Logan knew how much I loved her.
Right.
I mean, it was unconditional. And sometimes it's very hard to do, because the addiction makes your children do such horrific things that you know is not actually them. Like my daughter, she didn't lie, cheat, steal. You know, she, that was not her, but the addiction made her do those things.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's very hard to keep loving somebody whenever they are hurting you so much and hurting your family so much.
Now, I'm sure you have to have certain, as you went in life, barriers and limitations with her as you went. I mean,
oh,
you say I unconditional love and don't kick her out and stuff, but at certain points you have to put up those walls and say, okay, you cannot go past this, though.
Right, exactly. And that is also something that's very, very hard to do. You know, it's the tough love is very hard.
Yeah.
But it is something that needs done, but it needs done.
Well, I think that's why it's so difficult, because you have to be, you know, just like you said, you have to be there for her. You don't want her to go to a deeper place. You want to conditionally love her, but you also have to put up those boundaries too. So it's that following that middle there somewhere.
Right, because looking back again, you know, I see now and I realize how much I actually enabled Logan.
Right.
You know, and that was very, it's that, that's a very fine line.
Right.
It really truly is, because you want to be there for them and you want to do whatever you can to help them, but you also can't enable them to continue to do what they do. And it's, you know, the only thing that I can really say about Logan is, you know, she really truly tried. She went to rehab so many different times, and it was always me pushing her to go to rehab. Like I would say, "Look, you know, this is out of our control. You have to go get help. You have to do this." And she would do it. But like the last three times, she's the one that came to me and said, "I can feel myself spiraling out of control. I need to go to rehab. I need to go somewhere. I need to do something." And before, it was always me calling all the rehab centers, trying to get her a bed, trying to get her in, working with the insurance and, you know, different stuff like that. And the last three times, whenever she would come to me and say, "I need a ride to wherever tomorrow because I called and I've admitted myself." And so many different times I remember the last time and I thought, my God, how wonderful is this? Because she didn't come to me and say, "Mom, I need help." You know, she took it upon herself. She took those steps. She made all the phone calls. She took care of all the insurance work and everything. And she knew.
Wow.
And so I always kept thinking, you know, so many different times Logan and I would do counseling and therapy together. And one time the gentleman had told me, you know, only 2% of heroin addicts actually make it, actually, you know, really, truly recover and become good, productive citizens, you know. And I remember leaving there, and I said to Logan, I said, "Logan, you are going to be that 2%. You are going to be the 2% that make it. I just know it," you know, and I knew it. And I said, 5 years from now, girl, you're going to be telling your story. You know, you're going to be preaching to people and saying, "If I can do this, you can do this."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way. But she tried, you know. She really, truly did. And so that's why I'm trying so hard. I don't want Logan's death to be in vain. I'm trying so hard to be her voice.
Tell me what happened when the event that, of course, changed your whole family's life and dynamic. Talk to me about that part.
It was the third week in December of 2017, I had a very major back surgery done. So we went to Baltimore, and I had my back surgery done. I got home like a day before Christmas, and Logan at the time wasn't working. So she was my full-time nurse. She was my full-time nurse. My husband took a week off. He actually had went back to work because Logan was able to be here with me. And Logan always had such a hard time sleeping. She had insomnia so bad. It was just terrible. And so I had told her I was like 5 weeks past my surgery. And so she would come over every morning, get me up and help me get dressed and stuff. And I had told her the night before, I said she had a job interview actually that Thursday. She had a job interview at 2 o'clock. And I had told her the night before, I said, Logan, if you can sleep, please do. You know, I'm going to try and get up and, you know, get myself dressed and get around here. You go ahead and sleep. And so I got up and, you know, was going about my day as much as what I could. And it was like 10 o'clock, and I'm thinking, you know, I haven't seen Logan yet, but I told her to go ahead and sleep. So I really, you know, wasn't concerned. I was kind of grateful that she was sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember I was sitting in my recliner, and I was actually watching TV, and there was a show on that, it's called Intervention.
Oh, yeah, I watched it, mate.
Yeah, and I was watching that, and it was, like, exactly 12 o'clock when that was over. And I got up out of the chair, and I went over, and I knocked on Logan's bedroom door, and I said, Log, it's time to get up, and didn't hear anything. And I knocked again, didn't hear anything, and then I went to open the door, and Logan's bedroom door was shut. It was locked, which she never locked her bedroom door. And I just got this god-awful feeling, and it was just horrible. And so I came out to the kitchen. I got some kind of a screwdriver or something, and I went. And the funny thing is now, you got to remember, I had just had my back surgery done, so I wasn't getting around.
Sure.
You know, I couldn't even hold like a gallon jug of milk.
Right.
And I remember I put the screwdriver up to the doorknob, and I don't even remember touching the knob, but that door came open. And I walked in, and Logan was like rolled over on her side. She was, and I'm thinking, man, she must really be sleeping. And so I just went over and I just put my hand on her and I said, Lou, come on, you need to get up. And whenever I touched her arm, like her arm didn't move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was really, really stiff and she didn't move. And then whenever I rolled her over, because she was kind of laying face down whenever I rolled her over, and then, of course, you know, I knew where we were at.
Right.
And you got to realize, like I said, I could not even lift a gallon jug of milk.
Right.
And I rolled her over, and whenever I realized what was going on, all by the grace of God, I somehow picked her up, and I got her out of bed.
Hmm.
I picked her up in my arms, and I hugged her really tight, and I laid her down on the floor and started doing CPR on her.
Hmm.
I did that for a couple seconds. I called 911. I picked her up again. She was 125 pounds
mm-hmm.
of dead weight. I picked her up again,
right.
And I put her back in bed.
I've had back surgery. I understand what you mean. Yeah, there's nothing
yeah.
you can do.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying that was all by the grace of God.
Yeah.
I mean, he gave me the strength of a million men.
That's what I mean, yeah. Because when you have that surgery, there's nothing you can do. You could not do that, yeah.
Right, exactly. And, I mean, it just all went downhill from there. But the crazy thing is that I really, truly didn't think that Logan was gone. I really didn't.
Really?
Like, my sister-in-law works for the Racetown Ambulance, and they're like, I don't know, probably 15 minutes away. Well, she was here in like 7 minutes. And whenever they come in, I still did not think that Logan was gone. She was still warm for me to touch her.
Oh, so
you know?
It wasn't very long.
Well, they say that it was between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, really?
Is what they say.
Oh.
Yes.
Hmm.
But
who knows? Huh?
It's not. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, who really truly does know? And you know, one of the bad things, I think one of the most important things that I struggle with the most is, you know, just having that back surgery done, and I was still taking, you know, pain medicine.
Right.
And I always sleep with the TV on, and it just kills me to think, like, was Logan yelling out for me? Like, did she know what was happening? Was she yelling out for me? And I couldn't hear her because I had taken my pain medicine or because the TV was on, like, was she crying out for me and I just didn't hear her?
Mm.
You know, and those are, that's the kind of stuff that goes through your mind just day in and day out that just completely eats you up.
Living
with
constant,
really does.
Living
with that,
yes. Guilt, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, now, how about the night before then? She told you night, and she was in all night then, so she didn't go anywhere and come back.
No.
Yeah.
No. Didn't
so
go
she had there. She had heroin well, with her in there and had done it at some point then.
Right. Well, the whole thing was, it was probably about 7 o'clock, and she helped me get a shower, and I was getting ready to go to bed, and then she was over in her bedroom, and she had sent me a text message and said, do you feel good enough? She had super, super, super long blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, do you feel good enough to put a braid in the front of my hair for my job interview tomorrow? And I said, sure. And she said, I'll be over. So she came over, and I braided her hair, and we watched a little bit of TV and different stuff like that. And then mm-hmm. she said, my friend Lakin is going to stop over. And I said, Logan, you know, I'm not comfortable with her. I don't care for her. I said, I'm not comfortable. And she said, Mom, she borrowed a pair of pants and a pair of boots off of me months ago, and she's just going to drop them off.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, there is, I don't want you leaving the house with her, and I don't want her staying here. And she said, nope, it's not a problem. And it wasn't.
Right.
You know, and I remember I was sitting in bed, and I heard her knock on the door. Logan came out. I saw them walk into Logan's bedroom, and she wasn't here more than 5 minutes. And then she had left, and that was like, say, 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then Logan had came back over and gave me a kiss and a hug and told me good night. And that's whenever I had told her, you know, I said, you go ahead and sleep in the morning.
Right.
And she kept saying, Mom, you need me to help you get up. And I said, no, you know, let me try by myself. And that was it. You know, that was, you know, the last thing that I ever got to say to her. So, and it's very hard because they say that it was cocaine laced with fentanyl. Well, if this girl brought her coke that was laced with fentanyl, I'm sure it was, like, kind of from the same batch. Like, why didn't something happen to her?
Yeah.
You know, like, if they were both doing
the same
thing. Like, why did something not happen to her? You know, so the thoughts that run through your mind.
Questions that are never answered.
Right. Did Logan do it after Lakin left? Did she do it while she was there and something happened and that's why the other girl left so quickly? You know, it's just stuff like that. You just keep asking the same questions over and over and over and over, and you're never going to get the answers to them. I am going to be Logan's voice, even though she's not actually going to be the 2%. She's going to be with me.